Our message this evening comes from Psalm 121. This is the second of the 15 songs of ascent. These psalms were believed to have been sung by pilgrims traveling to Jerusalem to worship. And so please follow along as I read from God's holy word. A song of ascent. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. This is God's holy word. Let's pray and ask for his blessing on it. Our Father in heaven, please enable us to lift our eyes to you this evening. Cause us to trust your plans and purposes even in the midst of our various trials. Use your word to build that faith in us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when you're going through something hard, where do you look? If you're like me, you may be tempted to look at a screen. So you may want to look at some news articles or some sports highlights, or maybe even numb yourself by laughing at some comedian. And when we're not ignoring it, we can be tempted to solve our own problems or try to solve our own problems in our own strength. So if you're in a tough spot, you might think, if I only work a little harder, or if I read a book about this topic. In other words, you think you can just kind of dig yourself out of this situation. If you could just make some life change in your own strength, things might just get better. Well, now, it's not as if all those responses are entirely wrong. Maybe a book will, in fact, help. And maybe you're wound up so tightly that actually what you do need to do is sit back on the couch, listen to someone funny, and just laugh a little bit. That may help you. But none of these strategies can be our primary source of strength in difficulty. Instead, Psalm 121 gives us a better place to look. It urges us to look to God for help, knowing that he keeps his people eternally secure. But God's protection isn't merely stated in the psalm, but it's instead poetically described. After all, the psalmist could have said things such as, I consider my troubles, or I remember that God is good. But instead, as Henry Law has written, God's protecting care is portrayed in attractive colors. May they win us to place all confidence in him. So as we meditate on Psalm 121, I pray that it does refresh us in this way, that we would trust in our God. So we'll think about God's care with two questions this evening. First, where does our help come from? And then second, why can we be confident of this help? And after that, we'll consider some ways that the New Testament describes us as being kept safe in Jesus. So first, let's ask the question, where does our help come from? And as I noted, this is a psalm of ascent, the second of the 15 songs of ascent. And they were thought to be sung by pilgrims who were making their way to Jerusalem. And so when the psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, he may have two different ways of looking up in mind. So first, he may be thinking of the hills that surrounded him on his way to Jerusalem. And as he looks up at the hills, he may be fearing the dangers that are on the way. After all, the hills would have provided a safe place for robbers to hide and jump out and catch travelers unaware. That really was a true and present danger for people traveling in that terrain. You may remember years later, Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, and Jesus tells the story of a man going down from Jerusalem who fell among robbers. And so that did, in fact, happen. Well, while the psalmist may have been fearing dangers, He may also have been lifting up his eyes to in a second way. The temple in Jerusalem was built on a hill. Psalm chapter 3, verse 4 says, "I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill." And so as travelers neared Jerusalem, they would lift up their eyes in anticipation as they saw the temple. Likewise, the Psalms frequently speak of lifting our eyes up to God in faith. So you could look at Psalm 123, verse 1. "To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens." So there are these two different ways of looking up. The traveler, as he approached Jerusalem, had a certain degree of fear and anxiety, perhaps, but also anticipation and confidence as he looked forward to worshiping at the temple. And so as the psalmist lifts his eyes to the hills, he asks the question, "Where does my help come from?" And he gives the answer in verse 2. "My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." So this testifies to God's creative power. God made the hills in which the robbers are hiding. He made the hill in which the temple was built. But the psalmist has in mind more than simply God's creative power. After all, a God who created the world and left it alone would be no God to look to help for. What the psalmist is actually proclaiming is God's sovereign rule over his creation. The God who created everything we see is still a very present help in time of trouble. And as the traveler lifted up his eyes to the hills, he essentially had a visual parable displayed all around him, a visual account of God's care for his people. Psalm 125, verse 2 says, "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore." So whether one was looking up apprehensively to the hills or hopefully to Jerusalem, he's confessing that God is his help. And so he looks not at the temple itself, but nor down the hills on which it's built, but the God who made those hills. He fixes his eyes not on the troubles or potential dangers, but the God who will watch over him even in the midst of them. Indeed, the emphasis here in Psalm 121 is on God's protection rather than on the potential threats we face. This psalm is for Christian pilgrims today. You see, all Christians really are pilgrims. While we're not traveling to Jerusalem physically, we are on our way to our eternal home, the heavenly Jerusalem. And many dangers assail us on our way, even some dangers that we're not even aware of. Most of all, we have a spiritual enemy, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, who wants to undo God's good work in us. And we all face trials and hardships of various kinds. Therefore, we all need help. You see, you do not have, I do not have, all the resources, all the strength in myself, in yourself, to get through life's challenges and trials. And so Psalm 121 encourages us to look up and place our confidence in God, committing ourselves to his care. Well, this confident profession in this psalm has been the confession of the church throughout the ages. Verse 2 is echoed in Psalm 124, verse 8. "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." And that proclamation of faith has been used frequently throughout the church history. In the early church, it was regularly recited at the start of worship services. John Calvin revived that practice in the Reformation time period in the 16th century. And so we place that confidence along with saints of old, confessing that our help is in the name of the Lord. And so the question for each of us is, where does your help come from? Do you find it in looking to God, or do we look for it in some other place? You see, it's possible to place our hope or our confidence in our own strength. Perhaps saying something like, "I have succeeded before," or "it's always worked out." Sometimes those are famous last words. But "it's always worked out in the past. I'm sure it's going to work out again." But here we're invited to build our hope on a more solid foundation, to trust God's help throughout trials and temptations. And if you're like me, we could also add, we can look to God for help even through imaginary trials and temptations. And by that I mean worry, right? Worry and anxiety. I can often worry about the future. Essentially, I'm borrowing troubles from tomorrow and saying, thank you, I'll have them today. And I'll fret and worry about them and even things that may not come to pass. And so I have all these troubles and cares on my heart that are not perhaps even real, may never even ever happen, but I'm worried about them potentially happening. And so that's also one of your sin struggles. The psalm invites you to look up in faith to God and to rely for His help, even in the midst of your particular anxiety. Of course, in His kindness, we can also say that God sends us help in the form of other people. So He gives us friends, counselors, parents, pastors, deacons, doctors, and so forth, right? So in saying our help is from God, this doesn't mean that we don't lean on other people or don't accept help from other sources. In fact, we can actually be free to fully receive them as coming from God's gracious hand and as a way that He is providing us help. So the psalmist here is asking the question, where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, is his answer. A second, let's ask the question, why can we be confident of this help? We see the answer here in verses 3 to 8. Actually, the answer began in verse 2, if you'll look back there, because God is the maker of heaven and earth. But then in verses 3 to 8, he fleshes that out and gives us more reasons to be confident. And there's a key description that runs throughout this psalm. Six times God is described as our keeper, or it's said that he will keep us. That is, in other words, he'll watch over you. Kind of like a shepherd watching over his flock. He'll make sure that you're not lost, that you don't slip away and aren't pursued. And so let's see how that's described in these verses. Now look at verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. This is a really fitting description given Israel's rocky terrain. A pilgrim didn't travel nice, paved, smooth roads on his way to worship. Therefore, one might easily picture someone losing his footing on the way to Jerusalem. And the image here of not slipping is picturing God's protection, both physically, but more importantly, spiritually, for his people. And it's significant here on who is preventing us from falling. Right? The text says, He will not let your foot be moved. And so the picture here is of God holding on to us. This is not us desperately clinging on to Him and making sure we don't let go. This is Him holding on to us. Deuteronomy 33:27 pictures it this way. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath Him are the everlasting arms. And so it's these everlasting arms that have us held fast and are preventing us from falling. And we have confidence that this will happen at all times because God doesn't sleep. I look at the second half of verse 3 into verse 4. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And the psalmist here repeats this for emphasis. He doesn't just say that God will not slumber. He says he will not slumber nor sleep. And this repetition emphasizes the certainty of this promise. It's also a stark contrast to all the false gods of the nations. Consider Elijah's confrontation with the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18. As the prophets limped around Baal's altar, Elijah began to mock them, and he says, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened." God isn't like Baal. He's never unaware. And therefore, because God never sleeps, we can have confidence that we won't be forgotten, that he won't let us fall. Of course, you may wonder, doesn't it seem like our feet do slip at times? Don't our feet slip? Many of us can look to dark moments in our own lives. Perhaps someone's even experiencing one of those right now as you sit in the pew. Moments of extreme discouragement, despair, or perhaps a battle with depression, doubts, or times when we, as a common Christian phrase, right, we fall into sin, right? We intentionally sin. Sometimes when we say, "I fell into sin," so our foot slipped. It seems like. So what's happening in those moments? We might remember what Asaph said in Psalm 73 too. "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled; my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Asaph continues, "But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Truly, you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin." So it's not like God's people never struggle with envy or other sins. It's not that we never have moments of even despair. But in those moments when we feel like we're slipping away, God holds us fast. He doesn't allow us to fall completely off that relational path with Him. And when we begin to wander, He always pursues us and He brings us back. And so if you're a Christian struggling significantly in some way this evening, be assured of that. Be assured that God will not ultimately let your foot be moved. He will continue to pursue you and will continue bringing you safely home. Well, Psalm 121 continues to give us more reasons to trust in God in verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 again repeats the refrain that God is our keeper, this time in reference to the sun. So look at verses 5 and 6. "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." And here's yet another wonderful way God is described in Scripture. Other passages speak of Him as a rock or a refuge or a stronghold for the oppressed or a strong tower, among many other wonderful descriptions. Underneath Him, as we heard earlier, are the everlasting arms. And so Psalm 121, verse 5, gives us yet another beautiful way to picture God's care for us as the shade on our right hand. And this image really gives us lots of comfort as His people. For one, our shadow is with us wherever we go, isn't it? At least when the sun is out, your shadow is out. Likewise, whenever there is a scorching trial in your life, God is there with you. The imagery of night and day also testifies to His constant care. In Hebrew poetry, a totality is often described with two opposite extremes. So night and day represents not just God is with you at night and day, but 24/7, everything in between, morning, dawn, evening, all the time. The Lord protects us 24/7 from every peril on our way, like the pillar of cloud that led Israel by day and the pillar of fire that went by night. Notice, too, there's a personal application here. It says the Lord is your keeper, not just a keeper, not just Israel's keeper in general, but the Lord is your personal keeper. That is, if you belong to Him by faith, you can have this assurance. And this psalm can really be sung by God's people today. If you're a Christian, the Lord is your keeper. Again, as I noted, this doesn't imply we won't face trials or difficulties. The very fact that the psalmist has to lift up his eyes to the hills implies that there really is danger. He needs help. But we face our trials knowing that God is with us and watching over us. Verses 7 to 8 conclude the psalm, and again they mention God as our keeper using this phrase three times. So look there again. "The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." Now note the wide scope in these verses. God is keeping us not just from some evil, but from all evil. And He will guard our lives not just occasionally, but forevermore. Again, this clearly isn't a guarantee that we won't suffer. nor that we won't face physical death. In fact, the psalmist clearly knew all people die. No one reading the psalm would have thought this means God's people don't die. But this does promise that our final outcome is secure. By God's grace, we will make it all the way to heaven. Satan won't be able to snatch us out of God's hands. And so we can lift our eyes with joy, praising God, even when the path is steep or the way is hard. But it's not only a future hope. Notice that the psalmist says that God will keep us from this time forth and forevermore. So God isn't only keeping you forever. This assurance begins right now. There's no end to God's keeping us, and we don't have to wait for it to start in the future. And this is true for all what we would call the big events of life, and all just the little ordinary moments and difficulties of this life. Of course, knowing this doesn't mean that we'll perfectly understand what God is doing at all times. Our young adult fellowship's working through the J.I. Packer's book, Knowing God, and there was a line from the chapter we were looking at this week that really stood out to me. Now, Packer wrote, "We may be frankly bewildered at things that happen to us, but God knows exactly what He is doing and what He is after in His handling of our affairs." Packer says that we meet these baffling and trying situations by taking them as from God and by seeking God's face specifically about them. Similarly, Elizabeth Groves quotes her husband Al while he was dying of cancer. And he wrote this, "God works in ways I don't understand. We see His goodness, and sometimes we simply look and see Him without knowing anything more than that He is near and He cares." So I don't know what God is doing in your specific trial, but even these hardships can bring blessings. Sometimes our trials will force us to lift up our eyes to the hills when we wouldn't have had to before, to taste more fully that God is good, to drink more deeply from His streams of mercy. And even when we don't understand how God is doing this or why He is doing this, we know that He is keeping our going out and our coming in. We know that He is good, that He will bring us safely home. And since this is true, we can indeed cast all our cares and concerns on Him, knowing that He cares for us. So the psalmist here answers the question, where does our help come from? And he describes why we can be confident of God's help. Finally, let's consider how we're kept safe in Jesus. While the psalmist, you see, had every reason to be confident in God, we actually have a more complete revelation of God's plan of redemption than he had. We have even more reason to trust God. Now, to be sure, the Psalms are full of expressions of God's mercy and grace. So, for example, Psalm 130, verses 3 to 4, they say, it says, "If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared." The psalmist understood that about God's character. Nonetheless, we live in the privileged position of seeing how God was finally going to put an end to sin and death, how He would make a way for us to be reconciled to Him once and for all. He accomplished this through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have our eternal security because Jesus has laid down His life for our sins. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit and our Lord's promise never to lose a single one that the Father has given to Him. His promise never to leave us or forsake us. Consider just for a few moments as we near a close here. Consider some of the ways the New Testament speaks of how God keeps us safe in Jesus and how He watches over us. So Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." He doesn't leave you. 1 Peter 1:5 says that God, by God's power, we're being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Your faith is being guarded by God as He will not lose His own. Jude 24 through 25 says, Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Just think about that. If left to ourselves, we would stumble. If God said, you're saved in Jesus and now you have to go the rest of the way, all the way on your own, we wouldn't make it. We need God's grace to get there. We wouldn't have any confident expectation of making it home. But in Jesus, God won't let our foot be moved. He is able to keep you from stumbling and present you even faultless before His presence with great joy. Romans 8:35-39 also speaks about our immovable hope in Jesus. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we were being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Therefore, your foot will not stumble. And earlier in this service, we read Hebrews 12:1-3. Hebrews 12:3 says, consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And so when we're worn down by trials, we're called to look to Jesus. When you're about to give up in despair, look to the One who gives you help. When hemmed in by mountains of sin, cry out to the One who is able to completely save those who come to Him. In Jesus, God casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. In Jesus, we are eternally secure. No one can snatch us from His hands. In Jesus, we have a great high priest who is able to sympathize with our weakness and ever lives to intercede for us. So again, as I asked at the beginning of this sermon, let me ask again, when you're going through something hard, where do you look? There are all sorts of places we're tempted to look for help, or to look to escape, or to numb our pain, or to look to rely on our own strength. Psalm 121, and the entire Bible encourages me, it encourages you to look up in faith, to lift your eyes to the hills, to lift your eyes to Calvary where Jesus died for you, to lift your eyes to Jesus who is seated at the right hand of God, to look to our great and awesome God who abounds in compassion and steadfast love, to look to Him confident that He keeps His people eternally secure. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, our lives are filled with trials and spiritual dangers. At times we feel pressure or temptation like the sun beating down on us. Please continue to be with us and sustain us. Don't allow our feet to be moved. Keep us and protect us. Lead us safely home. We ask that we might experience the joy of knowing You are with us. Grant us grace to know You as our keeper in the shade on our right hand. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.